When you're sick, injured, or experiencing an urgent medical problem, the last thing you want to do is leave your home to find care. Now, thanks to Dispatch Health, you don't have to, because Dispatch Health brings the power of the hospital to the comfort of your home. That's right. Receive same-day, high-quality care from expertly trained medical professionals in the comfort and privacy of your home. Just call or click, and Dispatch Health comes to you, able to treat common to complex issues, including infections, flu, pneumonia, migraines, dehydration, UTIs, COPD, COVID-19, and much more. It's really that simple. Go to dispatchhealth.com to learn more. And now, Dispatch Health has advanced capabilities to deliver IV fluids and even take X-rays in the home. It's really that powerful. Plus, they're affordable and in-network with most health insurance plans, including Medicare and Medicare Advantage. So the next time you're sick or injured, stay home, stay safe, and let Dispatch Health come to you.
Blog Talk Radio.
You're listening to When Christians Speak Online Talk Radio, broadcasting out of the Washington, D.C. metropolitan area. Today's voice crying out in the wilderness, prepare ye the way of the Lord. When Christians Speak is dedicated to lifting up the name of Christ Jesus and spreading the good news.
So it's my brother, can you spare a dime? My God shall supply my needs. Don't have to take because I am a thief. Cause every good
just want to make sure that we're working, amen, and everything is going according to plan, amen, and we're running a couple of tests real quick again, amen. God is so good, amen. God is so good, amen. He's brought us a mighty long way when we look back over our life, amen. He's brought us a mighty long way, amen. He's brought us a mighty long way. We look at the grace and the mercy of our awesome God and where we are. And I just want to glorify him and magnify him. As the song says, that's his sister Andrea Rose. Amen. Amen. So, yeah, magnify him and glorify him for all that he's done in our life. Amen. God is good. God is good. Amen. God is good. God is good. God is good. God is faithful. Amen. God is faithful. I don't know about you, but it's want to praise him. I just want to worship him, and I want to glorify him because he's faithful. Amen. He's so faithful. He has never left our side. He has always been there with us. Amen. He's always been there with us no matter what we're facing in our life. God has always been there with me. We are grateful to him. Amen. We are grateful to him and everything. We could continue to give him praise and glory no matter what. Amen. Praise and glory no matter what. Amen. I think I got everything is working according to plan. Amen. We're going to continue on with everything that we set out to do. I just want to welcome you to the broadcast of When Christians Speak Talk Radio. Today's broadcast is the Bread of Life. And we're going to continue on what we started on Friday. This part is God is a miracle worker. We're using the song, A Waymaker. Amen. We talked about Waymaker on Friday. For today, we're going to talk about miracle worker. On this Sunday on the Bread of Life, we can talk about God as a miracle worker. Amen. I mean, I don't know about you, but I look at my life and every miracle that he has ever performed with me. And it's such a blessing when God comes and rescues you from yourself or from sickness or from disease or from anything that comes against the authority and the plan that he has. He is our miracle worker. Amen. So we are going to definitely go ahead and get started in a minute. I want to remind everybody, amen. Oh, no. I'm looking at social media right now, and I'm not sure what Oh, no. I just got looking at social media, and I just heard last few on social media that we lost Reverend Marvin Glenn Jr. He was, my God, he was like a father to me in ministry. I learned a lot from him. I didn't always put it into practice, but I learned a lot from him, and he will be always missed and stuff like that. So, my God, yeah, Reverend Marvin Glenn has moved on. You know, God has called him home and everything. And Reverend Marvin was married to Pastor Glenn, and then Pastor Barbara Glenn, and they were both very instrumental in my life and my faith and my walk in the ministry. And oh God, yeah, but I know he's going on to be with glory and to be what God is calling him to be. I mean, to get to he gets to see Jesus. Amen. This man has just touched my heart so many times, and I'm just so glad for him. I'm so sad right now, but I know he's in heaven. He definitely was a hero and a pastor and a father figure to him and his wife, to many people, man. And y'all just bear with me for a second, okay? I don't know. I'm just, you know, just bear with me, okay? But I love this man, Reverend Marvin, and I got a chance to talk to him. I think it was last week, briefly, just to hear his voice and everything. But I love this man. You know, I love this man so much and everything, you know. So, even in his life, I saw the miracles of things that God did for him and with him and with his family and all of that. So what we may do, we may have to have a special broadcast for him, and because he has been on with us before, amen. So I may have to play that broadcast with Reverend Marvin Glenn at a different time, and everything. But I'm grateful for him Amen. And all that he's done and been with me. Amen. We're going to go ahead and just say a prayer right now. We're not going to read about the broadcast that's coming up, okay? So, Father God, we come today first to give you thanks. Thank you for your many grace and your mercy, God, and all that you have done in our life. We pray, God, that you, Lord Jesus, was blessed, continue to bless this family, the Glenn's family, Lord Jesus, the son and the daughter, God, and the grandchildren, and Pastor Robert Glenn, God. We pray, God, that anyone that have lost anyone so far this year, God, we pray that you would bring forth a comfort and a peace that passes all understanding, God. We pray today, God, that you would just be with anyone, Lord Jesus. And we thank you for those men and women that has poured into our lives, and thank you for the miracles that been of their lives that they have been presented to us, God, to open up our understanding, to teach us and to lead us and to guide us. We are grateful. Amen. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Amen. Let me see if we can continue on with this broadcast. Amen. I'm a little emotional right now. Amen. Because of the impact that this man made on me, okay, and everything. I'm just a little emotional that the impact that he had on my life, and that I'm grateful that I got a chance to know him and know him well, you know, and everything. But we're going to move on, okay? And we're going to continue to talk about the subject for today is Miracle Worker. Amen. Amen. So the song, basically, the scriptures and everything that we got came from the song, You Are My A Way Maker, Miracle Worker, Promise Keeper, Light in the Darkness. My God, that is who you are. Let me just go back to the beginning of the song. It says, you are here, moving in our midst. It says, I worship you. I worship you. You are here working in this place, God. I worship you. I worship you. Yeah. So you are a way maker, God, a promise keeper, a light in the darkness. My God, that is who you are. It says you are a way maker, a miracle worker, a promise keeper, a light in the darkness. My God, that is who you are. You are here touching every heart. I worship you. I worship you. You are here healing every heart, Lord Jesus. I worship you. I worship you. I worship you. You are here turning lives around. I worship you. I worship you. You are here mending every heart. I worship you. I worship you. You are a way maker, a miracle worker, a promise keeper, a light in the darkness. My God, that is who you are. That is who you are. So today we can deal on, talk about God's, and y'all just pray for it, brother. Like I say, Reverend Marvin Glenn has, I'm looking at social media, he has moved on. He's passed away, I guess probably a couple of hours ago, and this man meant a lot to me, man. He really did. You know, of all the men that has been in my life, you know, he was a focal punch with me, not only as ministry, but also as a servant and as a teacher and then a leader. And he will be sorely missed. Amen. He will be sorely missed, but. Yeah, and I saw the miracles that took place in his life. So y'all pray for the brother, because this is going to be pretty hard to move forth. But we got to be obedient to the calling that God has called us to do. Amen. So when I considered God, the Lord of Jesus Christ being a miracle worker, what I did is I went back and I looked at, and there's so many scriptures, man, more than we can even imagine about him being a miracle worker, you know, him performing miracles even before the foundation of the earth and all therein, and all of that is miracles and stuff like that. It took miracles in the work of God, you know, all of that I consider to be a work of man. To create man the way that he did, I consider that to even be a miracle. So all that God has created in this world and in the sun and the skies. And you know, it's, to me, I consider it to be a miracle, but most of us consider a miracle to be something more personal, you know, and stuff like that. But I consider all of it a miracle, you know. I consider all of it a miracle. And I'm just grateful to the Almighty God that, you know, that he created us in his image, you know. I'm grateful, Almighty God, because even in the midst of our failure, even in the fall of the first man, Adam, he created a way through his son, Jesus Christ, that we can be born again, that we can have that fellowship and that relationship, that intimacy in him. I'm grateful because God did those things too, you know. And when we look at our life, when we look at all the things that God has done for us in our lifetime, you know, there has been miracles, there's unseen miracles we didn't even know, miracles that kept us from hurt, harm, and danger, and everything like that. There's been those kind of miracles. We can't help but give God praise. Some of us was in the hospitals, and the doctors was about to give up on us. Some of us about to go there. I mean, there's just so many miracles taking place in this world that we live in on a daily basis, on daily, hourly, probably minute by minute, miracles after miracles after miracles. And sometimes we take those miracles. We're going to talk about that too. We're going to try to get everything done today talking about miracles. But sometimes we have a tendency, like the children of the Israelites, to take those miracles that took place for granted. Okay? We take them for granted. We think it. I don't know, we will forget that what God did yesterday or the day before, but we get amnesia real quick of the different things that God has done in our life and everything. So, amen. We just get amnesia. Amen. Just bear with me for a second. I need to pray one more time. Amen. Father God, we come today again. Thank you for the miracles that you have done in our life. I thank you, God, for everything, God. I pray for your strength today and that I might be able to get this word out. Amen. And I pray to great God that it will be a blessing to someone. All right. I pray that it will be a blessing to someone. I pray, God, that you would guide me and that you would order my steps and even my mouth and all that within me today, God. I pray that you would do this for your glory. Amen. I pray that you would do it for your glory, God. We need you in this time, God. We need you in this time, in this season, in this moment right now, God. So, Holy Spirit, we pray that you will come and you will set the atmosphere. You will begin to say whatever is needed, God. We can't do this thing by ourselves. Every time we try, we fail. So come, Holy Spirit, today. Come, Holy Spirit, today. Come and bring us to the place that we need to be. We do pray this prayer in Christ Jesus' name. Amen and amen. So let's go ahead and get this thing started. I turned to my Bible to, I think, Reverend Robin Wood. And as I just said, Reverend Robin, I just sent you a text message if you're listening and everything like that. But I wanted to just talk about the different miracles that took place in the Old Testament and everything like that before we start reading scripture. We got a lot of scriptures to read and everything. So I wanted to do that. I wanted to start with the different things that happened to the Egyptians and to the children of Israel that never had been done before, like that. The sea turning to blood was one. That's in Exodus chapter 7, verses 14-24. The plague of the frog. These are things that have never, ever happened for them. The Egyptians didn't look at them as miracles, but nonetheless, they were not, to me, you know, this is my opinion, they were miracles because it was something that was abnormal, something that was unscientific to take place and stuff like that. There was flies and gnats and the livestock and boars and hail and that's the name of locusts. And I mean, the list goes on. There are darkness, the things that was abnormal, you know, that was impossible under from man's perspective. You know, it was impossible. Even as devastating as the flood was with Noah, it was still a miraculous done that it rained for 40 days. It probably, no doubt, had never rained like that before. Even when the children of Israel got ready, and we talked about this on Friday, we got ready to cross over the Red Sea, and they was cornered, you know, from the front and from the back. It was a miracle because that took place, that caused the sea to reopen and for them to walk on dry land to get to the other side. Amen. It was a miracle that did this. These are not all the miracles. There's so many time after time. I remember David and some of the things that David did and went through, and some of the prophets of old. So God, I guess I'm trying to say that God has always performed a form of miracle to show his people that he is God, that he is I am that I say I am and everything. He's always been that type of person that right in the nick of time, he would always make a way through, even when we didn't feel it, or we didn't see it, or we didn't acknowledge it, or we didn't think it. He has always come through. He is definitely a miracle worker. He is one that has been able, when it starts getting to the New Testament, to take water and to turn it into wine. I'm talking about Jesus. Jesus did this, but this is nothing new when it comes to the spiritual realm of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. This is nothing new because he's always did a miracle. Men always see those things that God are doing. We don't always see or always acknowledge it, or we look the other way. Let me tell you something. When you wake up in the morning, it's a miracle that you're able to breathe in and out, to exhale, to inhale. It's a miracle that you're able to get up and to walk around. There are some people that are not able to do that today. It's a miracle that you're able even to talk or to move your hand, because some are not able to do that anymore, are not able to do that any longer. But God is a miracle worker. You know, many of us have gone through some sickness or disease, and like I said, the doctor's given up on us. You know, or maybe some of us might be in some form of a prison or whatever, and there's no way out. But yes, God, yes, dear, God is a miracle worker, and he provided a way of escape so you can get out. Some of us may have been on a bed of affliction and didn't know whether we would live or die, but God still worked a miracle so that thing that afflicted us has gone, and you would never see ever again. There have been cases, and I think about the children of Israel, that Moses told them, fear not, stand still and see the salvation of the Lord, because the enemy you see today, you will see them no more forever. Forever. Miracles. And truly enough, God hastened to perform his work, and they didn't see them anymore. Some of us have gone through such tragic and such horrible experiences and everything, but it was through the miracle and through the love and through the passion of God we stand now. And we're able to press through, and we're able to go through it, and we're able to be a testimony of the goodness and the mercy of God. It's not about what we feel like. It's not about any of those things, but it is about the working power of Almighty God. There are days that many of us feel like, what's the point? Why am I holding on? Why am I doing this? Why am I going there? Why am I doing church? Why am I serving you, Lord? But it's because of the love of God that he's constantly working things out in our favor. It's because of the love of God that he's constantly working miracles in our life. Daily, every moment, every breath we take, daily, he's doing that. Daily, he's doing it. One of the other miracles that Jesus performed is coming out of Mark chapter 6, verses 38 to 39. He says, I tell them, how many loaves have you? This is the he had ministered to the people, and there were so many people and everything. The disciples said to the people, you know, and I'm paraphrasing, the people was hungry, and there was nowhere to send them, and they didn't have enough food. And disciple came and said, all we, Jesus asked me, he was out there, and he said, all we have are these loaves of bread and these fishes. in verse 8:38, chapter 6, verse 38, picks up and says, he said to them, how many loaves have you? Go and see. He tells them, give them instructions. Take notice that he's given them instructions. Sometimes our miracle comes by us following instructions. He told them to go and see. You know, so they couldn't just stand there and look at him and say, okay, well, we don't know where we're going. He gave them instructions to go and see. And when they knew, they said 5 and 2 fishes. And he commanded them, another instruction. He commanded them to make all sit down by companies upon the green grass. He made them all sit down, all the people that was there, you know, 5,000, just counting the men, not counting women and children and everything, but just counting the men, because the men was the ones that was counted back then. Okay? So he had them all sit down and commanded them to sit down in groups. So the disciples had to follow the instructions, and the people had to follow the instructions. Sit down. We get ready to feed y'all. You know, we get ready to do something. Y'all got to have something. But it's too far to send you away to go back to your home and everything. No doubt, maybe the hour was like a miracle was about to take place for them. Amen. A miracle was about to take place. Let's do me a favor, because I want to go ahead and turn to that. Amen. But he made them all sit down in company. I'm going to turn real quick to that chapter. Amen. Mark chapter 6:38 and 39. Amen. Let me see if I can get my computer up on the side here. But he did that, man. He did that. Amen. Amen. Let me see here. Amen. Just bear with me. I'm trying to mark that task here because it's important that we understand about the miracles of God, the miracles of Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. What he was doing. Amen. There was a purpose in this, you know, and everything like that. There was a purpose in everything that was going taking place. Amen. I don't know what verse I'm gonna start at here, but I read all the way through the 38, and in fact, let's start at Mark 36, chapter verse 39. I'm not gonna spend a lot because I got a lot of scriptures to get through. I want to get through this today. It says that, and he commanded them to make them all sit down by companies from the green grass. So they sat down in ranks by hundreds and by fifties. So they sat down in large groups and everything. And when the scripture said 41, so then when he had taken the 5 loaves, God's mind it was, 5 loaves and 2 fishes, he looked up to heaven and blessed and break the loaves and gave them to a disciple to set before them. And the 2 fishes divided he among them all. And check out verse 40. It says, and they did all eat and were filled. You know, when I look at that word filled, that means to me that it was filled. They had more than enough. The scriptures talk about it later. They had like 12 baskets left over. And so, but they were filled. Wait a minute, all of these people were filled. A miracle took place. You know, two fish. How in the world, the logical part of the mind be like, how did he do that? How did he divide the fish and he only had 2 fish? How did he divide 5 loaves of bread? How did he do that? It was a miracle, y'all. It was one of Jesus' many, many miracles and the things that he did. The scripture talks about that Jesus performed so many miracles and so many healings that they could not write it all in the book. It wouldn't be enough to write in the Bible. I mean, and it would take like maybe go around the whole world twice or something of that nature and stuff like that. In other words, it was just too many and too many to keep a track of. It was no way. He performed even more miracles than we know about, than we would ever know truly about it. Jesus did that and through the Father. He didn't do that within himself, but he did that through the Father. Through the Father, a miracle. He is a miracle worker. Amen. Let's just read a little further. Amen. And then in 43, it says that they took up 12 baskets full of fragments and of the fishes, and they did eat of the loaves, which was about 5,000 men. That's what I was talking about. That was just the men, not the women, not the children, but just the men. Just the men. And straightway that he constrained his disciples to get into the ship to go to the other side before going to Bethesda, while he sent the people away. He didn't send the people away hungry, okay? He did not send the people away here. He gave them the word of God, and he gave them the food for the nourishment of their Bible, for the nourishment of their body. He did that. A miracle took place. You know, a miracle took place. And the thing that later on in the chapter or the next chapter, it talks about the people was more focused on the food and less focused on the miracle. You know, they overlooked the miracle, just like the children of Israel didn't focus on the fact that they was able to cross the Red Sea, and that God has split the Red Sea, that it was walls on both sides, and they made it to the other side. But sure enough, even before they did that, they looked at Moses and said, man, look, we could have stayed in Egypt. They didn't understand that a miracle was about to take place. They didn't understand that a way, like we talked about on Friday, a way was about to be made. They didn't understand. Standing a miracle that God was performing a miracle right before their eyes, if they had only caught hold to the miracle and understood what Moses is saying and had knew what Moses knew, they would understand. Look, yeah, we ain't worried. Yeah, we caught in two different places. We got water, we got the river on one side, and we got the Pharaoh's army. But we know that God is a way maker. We know that God is a miracle worker. We have an expectation because we got something within us now, which is the Holy Spirit. We said we have an expectation that God is going to work a miracle, no matter what it may look like. Our expectation should be different from that of the world. You know, our expectation, it should be different. The way we look at things should be different. It's to be different. It doesn't matter about how you have a lot of it, but even a mustard seed of faith, a measure of faith, should be different because we know through what is written and through our own lives what God has done for us. Can't nobody tell your miracle like you. Can't nobody express what God, your breakthrough like you. And so what God did for you, what miracle it took for you to accept Jesus Christ and your Lord and Savior, after you said you would never ever be in nobody's church. What miracle it took for you to fall on your face and to realize that you would serve the Lord Jesus Christ to the day that you leave this world. He knew that you would have your ups and downs. He knew that things would always be right. He knew that your faith may be lacking sometimes. He knew everything. If I tell somebody this week, God knew everything about you. He knew every trial that you had to go through. He knew that your father or your mother would abandon you. He knew all of these things. He knew that your husband would walk out. He knew that your wife would walk out. He knew that your children would do this and do that to bring shame. He knew all of that. But yet still, he continued to perform miracles in our life, those that we know about and those that we don't know about, seen and unseen. You know, preventive miracles to prevent us from going on a path that you know is deadly to us. Preventive miracles from causing us to be with people that we should have absolutely no contact with us. That kind of miracle. He's a miracle worker. Let me continue to read on just a couple more other scriptures. And this is coming out of Acts chapter 6, verses 8. And it says, Stephen, full of faith and power, did great wonders and miracles among the people. So Jesus said that. Jesus told the disciples, he said, even greater works would you do and stuff like that. Even greater works than we do, we would do. That wasn't just for the apostle, but that's even for us. Amen. But we don't do that in of our own self. But we do that through the grace and the mercy and through Jesus Christ, because it's because of Jesus Christ. We have an advocate with the Father. So it is because of the blood of Jesus Christ that we do the things. Paul said that the people would look at him real strange because they see him do a couple of miracles. Don't look at me like that. It ain't me. This is all about Jesus. And Peter told one somebody, he said, look, silver and gold I don't have, but such I have, I give it to thee in the name of Jesus Christ. Walk. Miracles, y'all, that are taking place. Even today, there are miracles taking place. There are people that got healed from COVID and stuff like that, that their doctors had given up on and everything, but they got healed. Miracles are taking place. I know for a fact that my brother himself that was in a coma for X amount of months and everything like that, and they had given him miracles taking place. God is a miracle worker. What is your miracle? Begin to reflect on the miracle that took place in your life and changed your whole life around. Begin to reflect back on the miracle that when you was down and when you was beaten up, and when everybody, including the family, had given up on you, but God performed a miracle, whether it's through a dream or whether it's through a vision, and he showed his true self to you. He showed himself to you. Maybe you didn't see his face directly, but you saw his hindsight. You saw his backside, and he revealed his glory to you and stuff to let you know that you have favor with him, to let you know not to give up now, to let you know don't be weary in well doing, but stand. And after you've done all you can, continue to stand. God is a miracle worker. God is a miracle worker. Let me move on. And so so the scriptures are filled both in the New Testament and the Old Testament of miracles that have taken place. All right, this is coming to Acts chapter 2, verses 22 and 24. And this is Peter, he's speaking. He said, "Ye men of Israel, hear these words. Jesus of Nazareth, a man approved of God among you by miracles and wonders and signs, which God did by him in the midst of you." That's what he's reminding me. Look, why are you acting out? Say, this is, you had Jesus Christ in. You have the Son of the Living God here, and he did miracles for you. And then, and the thing about when I read that part of the scripture, I honestly said, they didn't want to recognize him. Some did, but many didn't. They didn't. With all the miracles, you would think the people were like, yeah, he definitely is the Christ. Some did, but many did not. Many did not. The Pharisees and the Sadducees didn't want to lose their power. Didn't want to upset the Roman government. So the Roman government put a stop to their religious ways of things. They didn't want this type of distraction. They wanted the people to continue here. But God had a better plan. Going back to God having a plan, God being a way maker and everything like that through Jesus Christ. It says that him being delivered by determinate of counsel and foreknowledge of God, ye have taken, and by wicked hands have crucified and slain him, whom God has raised up, having loosened the pain of death, because it was not possible that he should be holding of it. Miracle. He was raised from the dead. Miracles. You know, miracles done, all works done, the wonders were done, and all these kind of things were done by Jesus Christ for the manifestation of God, so the people would know that there is God, there is a bomb in Gilead. Miracles were done. The veil of the temple was ripped in two and everything. So there would be no more need for the priest to go behind the veil anymore. Miracles. So that we can go behind the veil for ourselves because of Jesus Christ. In Acts chapter 8, verses 6 to 9, and it says that, and the people with one accord gave heed unto those things which Philip spake, hearing and seeing the miracles which he did. For unclean spirits crying with a loud voice came out of many that was possessed with them, and many taken with palsy and that were lame were healed. Miracles. You know, it wasn't Philip, it was Jesus. It was the Holy Spirit operating in him. He allowed the Holy Spirit to operate. Those same miracles are able to perform today. God has not changed his step from the beginning, from the end. Jesus is the same yesterday and forevermore. Miracles taking place. Okay? He says that there were great joy in that city. It said, the scripture said there were great joy in the city. Because the miracles that were taking place, because of the salvation of men and women that were being saved. You could, the scripture talk about how heaven rejoiced over one soul that received Jesus Christ as the Lord and Savior. That was miracles. But let me tell you something. When there are miracles, the enemy is going to always come forth too. The enemy is going to always come forth too, whether to disclaim the miracle, whether to speak against the miracle, or whatever. Here's an example. Verse 9 said, but there was a certain man called Simon, which before time in the same city used sorcery and bewitching people of Samaria, giving out that himself was some type of great one. The scripture goes on to talk about how he offered to buy this Holy Spirit, the Holy Ghost, with Philip in the hand and everything. Which really didn't have, and everything. He was willing to buy. Trying to buy. You can't buy this. This is not for sale. This is not for sale. This is not for sale. You can't buy this. Amen. And stuff. And then he got rebuked and everything, and he repented and everything like that, and all that kind of stuff. But the fact that someone was trying to buy the Holy Spirit. Someone was trying to buy this miracle working. I'm not even sure he was the Holy Spirit. I think he just wanted to be able to perform the miracle so that he could get paid. His heart wasn't in the right place. In John chapter 3, verses 1 to 2, it says that there was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. The same came to Jesus by night and said unto him, Rabbi, we know that our teacher come from God. So, for no man can do these miracles that I do except God be with him. Said, no man can do these miracles except God be with him. Think about that. And here, a Pharisee, he didn't approach Jesus during the day, but he came to Jesus by night, the scripture said. And even in the midst of that, you know, Jesus began to speak to him and everything. And he still didn't understand what Jesus was talking about and everything. He still didn't get it. So Jesus had to do a breakdown for him to understand exactly what he was talking about. I really want to dive more into that, but let's go on to the next scripture. Okay, this is Acts chapter 2. Thought I just read that. I did it, okay. All right, Acts chapter 2. We're going to read it one more time. Acts chapter 2, verse 20. It says, ye men of Israel, hear these words, Jesus of Nazareth, a man approved of God among you by miracles and wonders and signs, which God did by him in the midst of you, and as you yourself also know. Miracles are being done even today. Yes, I know there's wars and there's rumors of wars and there's all kinds of chaos and there's sickness, there's disease, there's tsunamis, there's what is the word I'm looking for? There's all kinds of stuff happening right now. There's pandemics and there's viruses and there's all of that. But even in the midst of all of this stuff that is going in all around us, God is still being a miracle worker. Even in the midst of so much darkness and despair, God is still being a miracle worker. Even in the midst of your doubt, even in the midst of your lack of faith, even in the midst of not your, but all of our lack of faith, a lack of doubt, or whatever, or misgivings, or lack of trust, or lack of belief, still working miracles. Miracles are taken for every single day, and probably, and if you really want to be real, there are probably more miracles taking place than the act of darkness. Because the world focuses on darkness versus focus on light. We see and hear through the news media more darkness than we hear light. But look, that which is of God is manifested more than that which is the darkness. We got to take the time out and see the miracles that are taking place. Every time the sun comes up in the morning, every time the moon comes out at night, these are miracles by the act of Almighty God. These are wonders. These are acts of God and his kindness and everything. All of these things are taking place in our life. The miracles, miracle worker, because that's who it is that we serve. Let me read a couple more scriptures. Amen. Amen. I look like I double printed myself, but let me go out there. All right, this is coming on the John chapter 12, verses 37-38. It said, but though he had done so many miracles before them, talking about Jesus, yet they believed not on him. And that's what we're going to get at. People don't always believe in the miracle. They see the miracle before them, and they try to put a lot of us try to put a scientific approach or a logic approach to something that God was miraculous to do, and it don't add up. There are testimonies of people that was healed completely of cancer. You know, there was a testimony that I heard that this young lady had cancer one day, and she was going through chemotherapy, and the next day the doctors went in there, and they panicked, and they was running all down the hallway because when they did the test and they looked into the lungs, there was no more cancer anywhere. In fact, there was not even a sign that this young lady had cancer. Miracle. They couldn't explain it. They couldn't put it into words. They was flabbergasted. They knew what they saw the day before, but now here it is the next day after. It's all gone. Miracles take place. Miracles are being done. Miracle workers. She was a Christian and everything. And the people God prayed that God would spare. They prayed for the cancer to be gone. Miracle being done. And God doesn't always operate like that. Sometimes he operates through a process. Whatever the process is, let the miracle of God take place. Let the miracle take place. Whatever the process is.
Sometimes the miracles have a process or have a time period that they have to get through. They got to go through steps and everything. They got to go through moments and everything. And once the next one, then you go to the next one. Once you're that done, you go to the next one. But the end result of it is still complete holistically healing, complete healing, you know, complete healing. Holistically and physically and mentally and emotionally and spiritually, because God doesn't do anything halfway. When He does something, He does it complete. Jesus said on the cross, He said, "It is finished." When God does something, it is completed. It is finished. Miracle. Miracle. And let me continue reading on. And the people with whom I wanted to go gave heed. I just read that. That was talking about the unclean spirit. All right, red new. I don't know if my page keeps scrolling backwards. Okay. Amen. 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 Let me keep on. Let me keep on. Amen. Okay, I want to read John chapter 12, 37, 38 again. It says, "But though He had done so many miracles for them, yet they believed not on Him, that the saying of Isaiah the prophet may be fulfilled, which He spake, Lord, who hath believed? Hallelujah, our report. And to whom hath the arm of the Lord been revealed?" To whom? Who will believe our report? And who hath the arm of the Lord been revealed? You know, the people that you would think that should be revealed, what's that revealed to? And stuff like that. Those that was in leadership or high leadership, or those that thought mighty of the stuff that had the title, it wasn't revealed to, and stuff like that. But the people that didn't have the understanding or the education or the who's what to believe that, they got to see this, and they believed, y'all. They believed. They trusted, and they believed in Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. They believed it. They saw the miracles. They laid down before Him and stuff, and they accepted Him as the Christ. You know? They knew who He was and stuff. But can you imagine the blind men being able to see, especially the one that He had to spit on the ground and everything, that He spit him and rub, spit in the eyes and everything like that? And at first the man said, "I see men as trees," and everything like that. And He did the same thing again, that He see men that they normally, come on, that was a miracle right there that took place and everything. Can you imagine something? I'm not going to go there about this false week. Our Facebook post that was put up earlier about something, but we're not talking about that. But how about awesome? Let's say, okay, God, you let allow God to spit in our eyes, you know, because that's what about following the instructions or whoever is today. And how many of us will let God do that for us? You know, how many of us will go and wash in the pool of Siloam and everything like that? It's dirty, you know. How much of us will wait for somebody to stir up the water and everything and then try to and be the first one to jump in? How many of us will just say, "God, heal me"? How many of us would do that? How many of us? What would take for you and stuff, the instructions that God, if God gave you for your miracle, what kind of instructions would you be willing to follow? Where would you draw the line and say, "No, I ain't doing all that just to be healed," you know, or be delivered, or, you know, or be, get a breakthrough, or have the walls come down, you know, the breakdown barriers and walls and stuff like that, generation of curses and all that. What would we do to have that? What kind of instructions would we follow for those things to take place in our life and stuff like that? I mean, not saying that God can't heal just like that with no instruction or nothing, just did it. Me and Mom already proved it, said He did a lot of things and stuff with all the instructions. But what are you willing to do? Are you willing to say, "Yes, Lord, whatever by any means necessary"? There were the scripture that talks about how there was a paralytic man, and there was his friends or brothers that was trying to bring him in. They couldn't go through directly to Jesus. Jesus in their teaching and everything, because the throng of the crowd was so great that people would not. They was bringing a bed in, and people would not let them in. There was no way for them to get in. They, no doubt, they tried all kinds of things, but people were so focused on Jesus, they were there for their blessing too. They were there for their healing, the miracle. So they won't let them in. So what these brothers did, is they climbed up onto the roof and they began to take the roof apart. And as they took the roof apart, they let the man down at the feet of Jesus. Can you imagine the chaos that was going on? People looking at me like, what are they doing? You know, all the people telling me, why are they doing that? You know, and all the kind of naysaying, all the negative stuff that might have been said. But they were focused on helping this young man, helping this brother out. Yeah, they were focused as they're getting to see Jesus. They believed, they had enough faith that if they could get him to see Jesus, that a miracle would be done. They knew that. And when they finally let him down, Jesus looked at them and said, be of good cheer because their faith has made you whole. Their faith, y'all, miracle worker, that made you whole. Their faith has made you whole. Amen. Let me continue to read just a little bit more, okay? And I promise I'm almost done. We run out of time. Amen. We're running out of time. Yeah, amen. I want to go back to ending with Numbers chapter 14, verses 22 and 24. And this is God speaking. God said, because of all those men which have seen my glory and my miracles, which I did in Egypt and in the wilderness, and have tempted me, you know, now these 10 times, am not hearkening to my voice. Surely they shall not see the land which I swear to their fathers, neither shall any of them that provoke me see it. But my servant Caleb, because he had another spirit with him and have followed me fully, him will I bring into the land wherein he went, and his seed shall possess it. You know, his seed shall possess it. What am I saying? I'm saying to you that God is performing miracles in our lives daily. Okay? We want to acknowledge the miracle work, the miracles that God is doing. Like, we want to acknowledge the grace and the mercy, y'all, that we go through daily in our life that God provides for, the new mercies, you know, daily, new grace, daily, fresh, just for us. They're new, just for us. We want to acknowledge everything that God does, even the things that we don't even know about. Lord, thank you for the unseen and the seen dangers that you prevented in my life. Thank you, God, for the miracle that prevented me to go into a place that I know I shouldn't have been in, but you prevented, you put up a stumbling block, you put up a roadblock and prevented me to go into that place. Thank you, God, for even on the job, for giving me favor and stuff when they was trying to get rid of me and stuff like that. You let me stand my ground and I say a mumbling word and you spoke for me. You had my the vice president of the company. You had the boss speak up on my behalf, and I didn't have to defend my own self. But thank you, God. You know, thank you, God, that when I wasn't working and I didn't have an income, you provided a job, a work that I love to do in a way. Thank you. You know, make miracles that take place. Thank you, God, that when I wanted to go to college and I didn't have no money and I couldn't borrow the money because there was money there, but you gave me a scholarship to be able to go to college. You paid it all, 4 years, in some cases 2 years or whatever. Thank you, God, miracles, y'all, are taking place. Thank you, God, for giving me a mother or a father or a husband or a wife and stuff that love on me the way you love on me, Jesus. Thank you. So those things are blessings. Those things, especially this day and time where everybody's just throwing in the towel and giving up on marriages and all that. Thank you, God. Thank you, Lord Jesus. We have to get to a point that we recognize everything that God is doing. I don't care how small it may be or how great. We're willing to recognize the great things, but are you willing to look at the miracle that the fact that you woke up this morning? The miracle that you, the fact that you woke up and you're clothed in your right mind. The miracle that you can go in the bathroom or go in the kitchen and turn on running water. The miracle. You know, some people don't, in other cultures, don't have that. The miracle that you don't live in. And it ain't because you're so great and wonderful. I know Americans are spoiled. But listen, some people don't have that. They got to walk miles. Back in the old days, in the days when I was growing up and stuff like that, in order to get water, you had to go and prime the pump. And depending on where you live, the pump was either very close or not close at all. And sometimes you had to go get water at night when it was pitch dark. Blessings, God, man. When God has brought us from as a nation, as a group of people, as his people. Some lands and some countries don't have the things that we have in this country and everything like that. But what they do have And I'm thinking about places like Vietnam and Korea. They have a desire to work. They have less, but their desire to worship God in spirit and truth is stronger than any other place, man, because they don't have anything to hold on to and everything. They thank God even if they have a bowl of rice. And all they have to eat all day is a bowl of rice. They bless God and realize it's a miracle that for them to have a bowl of rice. It's a blessing. It's a blessing. I don't know about you and stuff like that, but I want to be in that place that, God, I thank you for every single thing that you bring my way. Everything that you bring my things, that the blessings, what I'm expecting and what I'm not expecting. God, I thank you for every miracle. That if you do, and I'm going to say this, I'm going to close out because we've got 4 minutes. I'm going to say this to you. Listen, we need to get to the point where we praise God for other people's miracles too. I do. When somebody told me, oh, so-and-so got saved, or so-and-so got healed, completely healed from head to toe, I praise God for that. You know, or someone was able to, God bless them with a house, even though their credit was really jacked up. Bless God. You know, and everything. Not for the thing that they fact that thing that they got the house, but for God made a way. Go back to Waymaker. For God made a way out of no way for them and everything. And everything. Because we don't know what God has planned for them to do in the house. Maybe they can start a ministry. We don't know. Everything God does, there's a purpose and a reason behind doing it. You know, but bless God. I'm happy when somebody said, okay, somebody said that they couldn't have a child and the doctor said they couldn't get pregnant and all of a sudden they get pregnant with nothing the doctors did and all that, but they get pregnant. Bless God. That's a miracle. That's bless God. That's something to shout and give God the glory because you know that no one else did it but God. You know, sometimes even the miracle has not performed, came to passion. We need to be able to say, God, thank you in advance for the miracle that I know that's on this way. Thank you in advance for the healing that I know that's on this way. Thank you in advance for everything that I need. That God, you know my needs. You know my desires. That I know that I ain't got it yet. I can't see it, but I know it's coming. I know it's coming. All I got to do is wait on it. And though it's tarry, wait on it. Write it down. And though it's tarry, I know it's coming. I know it's coming. Amen. I know it's coming. Amen. Bless God. So, y'all, thank you for listening today. Father, we thank you for all of the miracles that you have been doing in our life from day one. Even before the foundation of the earth, God, you were still making, doing miracles, Lord. Even while we were yet in your mother's womb, God, you still was doing miracles in advance, miracles that we weren't even thinking about, God. Even our parents or anything, you were performing your miracles, God. You were bringing things together, those things that were seen and those things that were unseen. And you was making them fit together. You was molding and making them together. You did it, Jesus. And we glorify your name for it, God. We thank you, God, for every trial and every tribulation that we are going through. For truly, it was nobody but you that did it, God. We thank you in advance, God, that how you have kept us along the way, Lord Jesus. How you, how even when we was in the place that we wanted to give us, that you sent your ministering angels that begin to strengthen us on all sides and let us know that we've been bought with a price, that we belong to you. We thank you in advance, Lord Jesus, that you put a pep in our step, God, when we were slumping a little bit, God, that you encourage our heart, Lord Jesus. You sent people, God, to minister to us, to sing songs of glory to us. God, you even opened up our understanding, God. You gave us dreams and visions, Lord Jesus. You allow us to study, and with the studying of your word, God, came the understanding of what you're trying to say, and it blessed us, Lord Jesus. We thank you every single day for every blessing you send our way. Now, God, we pray for those that are in need, God, that those that don't know you, for the backslider, God, we pray that this be a day of repentance, a day of coming back into right relationship with you. We pray for those that have never accepted you as their Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. We pray that you would tap them on the shoulder and remind them, Lord Jesus, that you are still there and you're knocking on their door, God. We pray that they will receive you in their heart, Lord Jesus, and speak, Lord Jesus. We pray, God, that they will speak from the mouth and believe in their heart that you are the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, God, that they shall be saved. We pray that they you that they accept you as their Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, that they will be receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit, God. And we pray, God, that they will find a Bible believing, Holy Ghost fear of discipleship of station, God, that will love on them the way that that you love them, God. That you, Lord Jesus, would still begin to show them a more excellent way in you, God. So a conversion may take place. And then you will give them order to go out into the hedges and the highways and compare men and women to come into you. We thank you in advance for what you will do, even in the midst of chaos, even in the midst of war, God. We continue to pray for those that are suffering, whether it be COVID, God, whether it be heartbreak, God, whether it be disease, whether it be sickness, God, whatever it be. We pray for those that have gone through storms of life, those that are in war and war overseas, God. We pray even for them, Lord Jesus. We pray, Lord Jesus, that you, God, will send ministering angels, God, that you are the one that's in control of the Russians, the king's heart, God. You are the one that can stop them there in the track. We pray for your permission, your desire to be done, Lord, your will to be done, God. We pray that even you can bring correction, whether it be on the right or the left, God. You can change a man's heart in a moment, God. You can do it. You can say the king's heart in a moment, God. You can turn that which is evil or that which is stony into flesh again. We know that there can't nobody do it but you. So we turn to you and say, Abba, Father, come and have your way. Holy Spirit, we do pray this prayer in Christ Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Amen. I want to remind you real quick of the broadcast that's taking place on the month of Apostle Shirley Jones. Amen. It's the first broadcast of the month of March, man. We're in a new month, and God has been faithful. So I want to thank you for those that have been listening. Thank you for your time, and thank you for all that you're doing today. I like to give you a celebrated 9 years of ministry. This month, actually, it was February, but we begin to celebrate. I want to thank again all of y'all that have been listening to the broadcast for these last 9 years. Every guest, every co-host, every host, my board, board of directors, and everything. All of you, every pastor, every all of you, man. There's too many people to thank, but I do thank you all for what you have done. And how you poured it, and not only into me, but poured into the vision that God has for this ministry. So again, if you have a desire, you can always go and check us out on When Christians Speak Talk Radio. You can find out a little bit more about us. Amen. If you do have a desire to donate it or sow a seed into the ministry, you can do so by going to WhenChristiansSpeak.com. Amen. And there's a page called Donate. Help us, so donate now. You can donate now. We are 501c3 company and stuff like that. We don't really press people to do, you know, you give. Amen. Bless God. But I do real quick want to remind you again about Apostle Cheryl will be on tomorrow with Lifeline broadcast at 7 p.m. His broadcast with Vanessa Williams will be Minister Vanessa Williams at 7 p.m. on Tuesday. Declaring the friendship with Pastor Pat is on Thursday at 12 noon. I do Friday Night Joys, amen, at 7 p.m. I used to do it Friday Night Joys at the first, the second, and the fourth of the month, amen. The Bread of Life is the first and the third Sunday at 7 p.m. That's usually with me, and sometimes Reverend Robin join me either on Friday or either on the Bread of Life, amen. Challenge to Change with Pastor Paul Morgan is every Wednesday, y'all, 7 p.m., and this is an interactive thing that he does with his broadcast. I'm pleased to let you know that there's also broadcast that you listen to. The Bold and the Beautiful with Reverend Davina Reed, amen, and Reverend Curtis Austin and Minister Jordana Cunningham every second Sunday. Saturday at 10 a.m., Adoration with Evangelist Lewis McElwain is every third Monday of the month, amen. At 7 p.m., Marriage Takeover, The Body of One, with Reverend Eric and Tamika Thompson, Pastors Eric and Tamika, is every third Sunday at 7, fourth Sunday at 7 p.m. Hour 3, Real Life, Real Men, Real Talk, with Ray, Antonio, Tyrone, Cleophas, and Elston, is every second Sunday at 7 p.m. Our weekly prayer is called Midday Glory Prayer with Reverend Gwen Dixon, amen. That's every Wednesday at 1 p.m., amen. And we thank God for Reverend Dixon, amen. Now, a lot of these saints of God have been with me for a very long time, man. They have been with me for
a long time, some more than 3 years and so forth and everything. But one of our newest broadcasts, two of our newest broadcasts that has been started is Matters of the Heart, amen. And that's every third Friday at 7 p.m., amen. So we're glad for that, amen. There's another broadcast that I'm looking for. Let me see if I can find it. Yeah, Spiritual Nuggets of Truth is every second and fourth Monday, amen, at 8 p.m. So it's two times a month. This is one of our younger broadcasts, amen. They just got started, relatively new and everything. So we're grateful for Minister Carmen being with us. So, y'all, that's all, man. Y'all have a blessed rest of the day. Be blessed. I know that God love you. And Reverend Ray love you, too. And Reverend Marvin, man, I love you, too, man. You're going to be sore in this, but I know you're in the hands. And with God, I love you, man. I thank you for pouring into my life, for being patient with me, and for understanding everything about me. So God bless you, Reverend Marvin. And, of course, Reverend Glenn, I love you and your family. I am praying and interceding on your behalf and the family and everything. I know this is a great loss, a great pain, but you are loved, okay? God bless you. God bless you. And we'll talk later.
When you are sick, injured, or experiencing an urgent medical problem, the last thing you want to do is leave your home to find care. Now, thanks to Dispatch Health, you don't have to, because Dispatch Health brings the power of the hospital to the comfort of your home. That's right. Receive same-day, high-quality care from expertly trained medical professionals in the comfort and privacy of your home. Just call or click, and Dispatch Health comes to you, able to treat common to complex issues, including infections, flu, pneumonia, migraines, dehydration, UTIs, COPD, COVID-19, and much more. It's really that simple. Go to dispatchhealth.com to learn more. And now, Dispatch Health has advanced capabilities to deliver IV fluids and even take X-rays in the home. It's really that powerful. Plus, they're affordable and in-network with most health insurance plans, including Medicare and Medicare Advantage. So the next time you're sick or injured, stay home, stay safe, and let Dispatch Health come to you.
15 minutes could save you 15% or more.
Wait a minute. I've heard that before. That's the note Jeremy wrote to me in my yearbook in the sixth grade. How'd you even know that?
Because it's from Geico.
Yeah, wait, here it is. Dear Luke, have a great summer. P.S. 15 minutes could save you 15% or more. Love, Jeremy.
Geico's had this tagline for years, because we help save people money.
So wait, you're saying Jeremy copied you? Yeah, that actually does sound like something the J-Man would do.
Geico. 15 minutes could save you 15% or more.